This is the Schnitt Show.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Schnitt, with a whole lot of ground to cover. You know, Maggie Haberman, the New York Times writer, who Trump lashed out at, was it over the weekend? Yeah, I had the tweet. Yeah, I mean, called her some name or, anyway, Maggie Haberman has apparently been a Trump friend and confidant in the media for like 20 plus years. And Trump just recently lashed out at her. And there were reports that the New York Times would get tips or anonymous sources inside the White House say. And it has been reported that, well, the anonymous sources in some cases have been Trump giving the tip to Maggie Haberman. Now, Trump lashed out at Haberman in the last couple of days on Twitter. She's reporting more changes expected soon. You know, NBC had reported that McMaster is going to be gone soon. I like McMaster. I would hate to see McMaster go, but he and Trump also apparently clashing. So look for McMaster to be replaced as National Security Advisor. And the rumor is that the replacement could be Ambassador Bolton, former U.N. Ambassador Bolton, who I like a lot. I just like that guy is straight to the point. He rubs some people the wrong way. And, you know, many in government, especially Democrats, don't like him. You know, remember, he was a recess appointment because he couldn't get confirmation when he was back in the Bush administration. I like John Bolton a lot. We've had him on this show dozens of times over the years, and he's just a straight shooter, and I typically agree with his policy, and he is as clear and cogent as it gets. And the rumor is that Trump is considering him as the National Security Advisor. Also, Maggie Haberman writes that Tillerson expressed concern to Trump about working with Bolton. So does that mean that Bolton really is lining up here? Is he on short final? Is he on approach to take over McMaster's gig? That's a big question. We shall see. But again, a lot of ground to cover here, and this bizarre item, which we'll get to here in a second. But also, I want to go back to, we played a chunk of Tillerson's departure audio from the State Department earlier today, hours after he was fired on Twitter. He actually got a call from the president, and then after that, he delivered remarks at the State Department, and again, thanked everyone, thanked his colleagues in D.C., those working under him. He thanked virtually a whole laundry list except for the president. He did not thank Trump. You know, he also, hit on the Russian issue. We've got issues with the Russians. You know, the president will not effectively deal with or call out the Russians. I still don't understand that. And I have no problem pointing that out because I'm going to point out whatever the hell I want to point out on this show. I'm not carrying water or no one's pulling my strings. You got some other radio hosts that are puppets. And you know, if you want that take, well, you can go hunt around the dial and find others during the course of the day that won't give you the 100% truth. I will. All right, we're at 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on Schnitt. 800-801-8999. That is how you get on the program. Simple as that. On Twitter, if you're not following me on Twitter, I am at Todd Schnitt, at TODDSCHNITT, at Todd Schnitt, with an N. Make sure you get that N right. Make sure you put the N in, because the N does change everything on multiple levels. Now, we have this, well, there's one other Tillerson issue here. Tillerson's top aide was fired over a memo. So Tillerson is not the only one that got canned today. Tillerson's top aide over at State was also booted. His name, Steve Goldstein. And apparently Goldstein took it upon himself to release a statement following Tillerson's firing. It didn't go over very well with the West Wing. It said, in part, the secretary had every intention of staying because of critical progress made in national security. The secretary did not speak to the president and is unaware of the reason. I mean, that statement takes balls. Let me just come right out and say it. That's a ballsy statement. That's stunning. And a few hours later, Goldstein, whose formal title was Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy, a couple hours later, he was gone. So he's out as well. And then this is just, well, we have more detail now than when the story originally broke. But I want to know what financial issues? The president's personal aide, John McEntee, gone. Out. Johnny, as Trump calls him apparently, Johnny McEntee, he was fired and he was escorted out of the White House. This appears to be a la Omarosa. The report is that this Johnny McEntee was fired because he was under investigation by DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, for some type of serious financial crime. Say, what? You're Trump's personal aide, like his valet? I mean, doing a lot of... this guy, Johnny, apparently was like the first person that Trump saw in the morning. I don't know if he sees Melania first. I don't know. I don't know if it's a separate bedroom deal, kind of like in House of Cards. I don't know if that's the deal there. But this McEntee guy, he told associates that there was an issue with his background and that probably prevented him from gaining security clearance, the full security clearance that he needed, and that led to his firing. And again, we had heard that John Kelly was going to have to clean some house because of all the individuals working on temporary clearances that have problems that can't get the full clearance. This guy McEntee, he's been with Trump for a while. He joined the team in 2015. So you look at Hope Hicks, a very close confidant of the president. Hope Hicks out in the last couple of weeks here. You have now this other trusted individual. A lot of the comfort, a lot of the water wings that Trump had on his arms are gone now in Hope Hicks. And now this guy, Johnny. Johnny shown the door because of apparently some financial crimes. What the hell did this guy do? Hey, Sue, can you try to dig a little deeper and see if anything has come out since my research on what these financial crimes are? Right. Well, you know, we're hearing that it has nothing to do with anything related to the president, just some type of financial crime, which I don't know what. Was he forging Super Bowl tickets? I mean, what was this guy doing? So he was fired, escorted out. The reports are that he was not able to grab a banker's box with his belongings. The reports say that he was ushered out of the White House and not even allowed to grab his jacket. So I guess he's going to get a box with his jacket and other personal effects delivered to him sometime shortly. But just a weird, weird story that, I mean, so why'd it take so long? I mean, if he's been under investigation, I mean, this must have been known, right? He was not out of the White House for 8 seconds when apparently he was rehired. Well, not by the White House. He was rehired by the Trump reelection campaign. So they immediately hired him. So he's now working for President Trump's re-election campaign for 2020. This guy, Johnny, 27 years old, a former quarterback at the University of Connecticut, UConn. And I didn't know this, but what I've read, apparently he's known for, he has YouTube videos. He has some viral trick throw football videos. I got to look these up. You know, this guy was Trump's body man. You know, what would he do? He would travel with Trump. He made sure that Trump had magic markers in order to sign autographs. He would bring the president messages while at the White House. He would, for instance, he would set the clocks ahead and back. You know, we just went into daylight saving time. So apparently part of his gig was setting the clocks ahead. And, you know, in the fall, you fall back. When we go to standard time, he would set the clocks back. According to reports, he would see the president first thing in the morning, sometimes the first to actually see the president. I guess during his executive time watching Fox and Friends. You know, and, I mean, a lot of close folks to President Trump have been jettisoned. You have this guy. You have this McEntee. Hope Hicks is gone. You remember Trump's personal bodyguard, Keith Schiller. Keith Schiller, he left last year, last fall. Schiller was, very tight with the president. So, and then there, if you believe it, the reports are, and there was a report out earlier this week, was it Monday? Or maybe it was over the weekend. There was a report out that John Kelly, the chief of staff, could be out. that Trump's considering getting rid of John Kelly and also wants Ivanka out. And that's been circulating for a little bit. I don't know the veracity of that, that Trump wants his daughter and son-in-law out. Who the heck knows, folks? But the turnover is ongoing. The latest, obviously, Rex Tillerson today, and tomorrow it could be McMaster, the National Security Advisor. Sessions is Sessions going to be replaced? Who wants a turnover? Anybody want a hot turnover? Let me know. I'll bring out a platter of pastries. We'll have a whole bunch of turnovers here. All right, we're at 800-801-8999. 800-801-8999. That's cold. You throw the guy out, he can't even get his jacket. Holy schmoly on that. Hey, let me tell you about our friends at Harrys.com. Whoa, great products. You know, I constantly get thank yous. And this is really just the best confirmation. This is total affirmation. You know, when I get an email, a phone call, we get tweets. Hey, Schnitt, thanks for the Harry's tip. Thanks for the promo code, etc. You know people love the product. And I hear it all the time. Hey, Schnitt, got Harry's because we heard the commercials on your show. Love Harry's. Best shave ever. Listen. Harry's has a formula that is brilliant. Best quality at the best price. Best quality, and you're going to save a ton of money. Harry's is so confident. I knew the minute I put the Harry's razor on my face years ago that there was something special. This was a heck of a product. Harry's wants to introduce you to their product. They want to send you everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they're offering you a special trial offer. Yeah, you heard me right. Redeem your trial offer. This is a $13 value. It's all yours when you sign up at Harrys.com. Plus, special offer. For Schnitt Show fans, go to Harrys.com right now. Enter the code Schnitt at checkout. Now, remember, you want to enter the code. So go through the checkout process, and you want to enter the code Schnitt, S-C-H-N-I-T-T, at checkout to get the post-shave balm also totally free. All of this. Just sign up with Harry's. You're going to thank me because over the course of the year, you're going to save a whole lot of money and get an unbelievable shave. Go to Harrys.com. Use the code Schnitt at checkout. Harry's.com, the code is SCHNITT. Harry's.com, the code, SCHNITT.
This is the SCHNITT Show.
You know, I took a little flack from some listeners. You know, I had some, you know, social media interaction. I had some folks call the program, got some emails. When last year, this was late last year, if I'm not mistaken, was it December, November? Remember when the story came out that Rex Tillerson allegedly called Trump a bleeping moron? It was the F-bomb. Tillerson allegedly called Trump a effing moron, and I said I believed it. And guess what? I still, to this very day, with Tillerson being fired, I think Rex Tillerson did call Trump a bleeping moron. And I think that also weighed extremely heavily on the president. I think that he held on to that and was angered by that. And I think that factors in as well. That and not being completely on board with Trump policy and doctrine, which you need a Secretary of State to be on board 100%. And how Tillerson projected that to the rest of the world. You know, you're dealing with a Secretary of State, but is he really representing the President of the United States effectively? And I think the answer to that was probably no. A lot more to come. SCHNITT, back in a moment.
This is the SCHNITT Show. The SCHNITT Show now continues.
Now, tomorrow is Wednesday, March 14th. Today is Tuesday, March 13th. So, yes, tomorrow's Wednesday, March 14th. Tomorrow is supposed to be a coordinated student walkout around the country. Allegedly, students at high schools and junior high schools, I don't know how deep it's going to go, are supposed to walk out of class, walk out of school with a protest, sort of a national show of solidarity in the aftermath of what happened in Parkland in Broward County. So it remains to be seen. You know, both of my kids are aware. There apparently is not a coordinated effort at either my son's school or my daughter's school. But just a heads up, wherever you're listening to us nationwide, there, all the kids know about it. Go ahead. If you've got kids in school, ask them, hey, is something supposed to happen tomorrow? And if you got to prompt them, is there supposed to be some kind of protest or a walkout? All the kids know. My son knew immediately. I mean, his school, and there's no organized effort for a walkout, but he knew about it. All the kids know about it. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday, March 14. Just a little heads up on that. We're at 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on SCHNITT, 800-801-8999. Couple of things here, and one you might like, one you might not like, depending on where you fall on the spectrum. Now, I'm not talking about like the autism spectrum, just on the political spectrum here. So I saw a Daily Caller piece. When did I see this? I saw this earlier today. So it's probably a little afternoon. Oh, here's the timestamp is on here. They published this at 1:04 this afternoon. Revealed Obama campaign hired Fusion GPS to investigate Mitt Romney. And this is in this new book. Now, I'm aware of the book, but we're starting to get little bits and pieces, little excerpts on what's in the book. So you're going to like some of it. You're going to not like some of it. or at least what's projected in the book. But listen, you know, if you're going to try to put weight behind something that you find politically beneficial, but then are you going to go ahead and poo-poo something that is politically non-beneficial? All right, so the new book, and this is the book it's called Russian Roulette, The Inside Story of Putin's War on America and the Election of Donald Trump. And this is a book written by Michael Isikoff and David Korn. Now, if the name Michael Isikoff sounds familiar, this guy was a Newsweek writer, investigative reporter for years, back when Newsweek was really a thing. Remember, Michael Isikoff, I'm pretty sure Michael Isikoff was the guy that had and was ready to break the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky story, the story of his life, the story of his career. Michael Isikoff, Newsweek. We're talking 1998, right? He had the Monica Lewinsky story, and Newsweek spiked it. Newsweek buried, they didn't run the story. And remember, that's what put Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report on the map, because Matt Drudge had the story leaked to him. And I remember the headlines were Newsweek kills story, president and intern, and that's how the whole Monica Lewinsky story came out, much to the chagrin, of course, of Michael Isikoff, who this was a career-making story. Now, he's done very well for himself. You know, he went on to be an investigative TV reporter for NBC Nightly News for a little bit. It didn't seem like his tenure there was too long. But Isikoff, I mean, certainly has investigative chops. There's no doubt about it. So the story in the Daily Caller, the Barack Obama presidential campaign hired Fusion GPS. Sound familiar? Fusion GPS? The whole dossier, Michael Steele dossier. The Obama campaign hired Fusion GPS in 2012 to dig up dirt on Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney, according to the book which is coming out tomorrow. The Obama campaign hid its payments to Fusion GPS through its law firm, Perkins Coie. Yeah, I wanted to say Perkins Cole, but it's C-O-I-E. Yeah, I had to look closer here. The arrangement is similar to the one that the Clinton campaign and Democratic National Committee used to pay Fusion GPS for its investigation of then-candidate Donald Trump in 2016. In 2012, Fusion GPS was hired to do oppo research on Mitt Romney for Barack Obama's re-election campaign. Again, this is in Russian Roulette, the inside story of Putin's war on America and Donald Trump's election. The book is written by Michael Isikoff and David Korn, two veteran reporters who met during the 2016 campaign with Steele and Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, this is pretty, you know, big story. The Obama for America Committee paid Perkins Coie around $3 million during the 2012 election cycle, according to filings with the FEC. A vast majority of the payments were earmarked for legal services. It's not clear how the law firm paid Fusion GPS for its research on Romney. Wow. Perkins Coie received more than $12 million from the Clinton campaign and DNC during the 2016 election cycle. That's a lot of money. It's still causing Hillary to fall downstairs. Fusion GPS was paid just over $1 million for the research on Trump on that. The oppo firm paid Steele just under $178,000 for his work on the dossier. So that is in this book, in this Russian Roulette book, which is coming out, being published tomorrow. But also, there was an excerpt that came out last week. And fake news, folks might jump on this and say fake news. You know, the issue is, and listen, this is where I'm fair, is that the Obama administration, apparently they were, the administration, the election campaign for Obama's reelection in 2012. So they're trying to dig up dirt on Romney here. This is a Daily Caller story. Now, last week, there was a story in an excerpt. And again, this you might not like. I mean, I don't want to hear this, but I'm a fair guy. And here I'm talking about the same exact book So it would be disingenuous of me to have one story that shines negatively on Obama and the Democrats and then try to bury a story that doesn't, from the same book, which is coming out tomorrow, which, well, let me tell you what this says. A new book about President Trump and Russia has a serious allegation regarding Trump and the selection of finalists for the Miss Universe pageant when he owned it. So in this book, Michael Iskoff and David Korn, Russian Roulette, they are discussing the 2013 Miss Universe pageant. That's the one that was held in Moscow, where allegedly Trump invited Vladimir Putin. There was a report that Putin was sent a letter by Trump inviting him to the pageant. And in the book, apparently it shows the whole event was approved by Putin, that Putin literally signed off on the Miss America pageant. Now, in the book, and listen, I don't want to believe this. I hope this is not true. I hope this is hearsay. One of the excerpts that was released last week, frequently Trump would toss out finalists and replace them with others he preferred. If there were too many women of color, he would make changes, a Miss Universe staffer later noted. Another Miss Universe staffer recalled, he often thought a woman was too ethnic or too dark-skinned. He had a particular type of woman he thought was a winner. Others were too ethnic. He liked a type. There was Olivia Culpo, Dayanara Torres, the 1993 winner, and no surprise, Eastern European women. On occasion, according to this staffer, Trump would reject a woman who had snubbed his advances. So, I mean, this is a dastardly claim being made in this book. And also you have the book making the claim that Obama and his campaign, they were paying all kinds of money for Oppo research from Fusion GPS on Romney. So, you know, is it fair for me to point out, you know, one piece of red meat story and not bring up one of the other excerpts? That's where, you know, I believe I'm being fair. 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on Schnitt, 800-801-8999. Got a bunch of things that I just didn't get to yesterday. This is eerie. Man, this story just did not get a lot of attention. A fox in Indianapolis. And this story apparently just coming out late this weekend, early yesterday, Monday, there was a man with a rifle, with optics, with a scope, and a bump stock that was inside an Indianapolis hotel, which was overlooking a women's march in January. This guy, illegally in the United States, now faces federal and state charges related to these gun scares. Ahmed Alakluk. Well, I said Alakluk. It's spelled A-L-A-K, Alak, L-O-U-K, Alakluk. Ahmed Alakluk. 22 years old, he'd been living in Indiana on a terminated student visa. That's according to the Indianapolis Star. He is a Tunisian native and a Saudi Arabian citizen. By the way, under federal law, if someone's in the country illegally, you're not allowed to possess guns. You're not allowed to have ammunition. Now, the first case, as reported by Fox 59 in Indianapolis, happened on January 20th. Security at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Indianapolis, they called the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police because they saw several firearms in his truck. including 6 handguns on the front seat and a rifle. And then the cop said the rifle had been modified to resemble an AR-15, including a scope. It had a bipod. I would imagine the bipod was up front on the rail up front, underneath the barrel rail. Had a bump stock. Alakluk told the cops, he said, "Yeah, it's fully tricked out." But then claimed that the rifle belonged to his dad. So police told Alakluk to secure the weapons because somebody could break into his truck and steal them. Why the hell would this guy have these guns in his vehicle and then in plain view? So he unlocked the truck. He took the rifle and the gun, moved the rifle to the back seat. Security checked later and found the rifle near the passenger seat. And that was a concern, obviously continuing on the security concern. But Alakluk's room overlooked the Women's March in downtown, and thousands of women were expected to attend that day. Crowd was estimated at more than 3,500 people. So security and the Indianapolis police, they removed Alakluk and then 2 other men from the hotel that morning and then monitored him at a business that he owned, some kind of tire shop. He ended up not leaving that day, but still, Homeland Security took a closer look at his immigration status. Then they discovered that Alakluk's student visa had been terminated in September of 2017, so last year, last fall. And then a week after the hotel incident, Alakluk got into an argument with a customer in his tire shop. How the hell does he own a tire shop if he was here on an expired student visa and he was supposed to be chucked out of this place last year? So he got into an argument with a customer at his tire shop. The customer said that he sold her a tire that wouldn't hold air. What the heck? Then they got into an argument. They got into a fight. The customer, then Alakluk, other workers, and her father. And then during that incident, Alakluk and another employee, they pulled handguns on the woman and their father. That's great. Man, that's some really kick-ass customer service. You're complaining about a tire that doesn't hold air, and the tire shop owner pulls a gun on you. My God. Well, it gets better. Then the woman, she goes to her car and gets her own gun. So she gets a gun from her car, and the woman, the customer complaining, then fires a shot into the air. Well, not to be outdone, Alakluk, here on the expired or the terminated student visa, Alakluk then got his rifle from inside the shop and then threatened to kill the woman and her father. And then he later pulled his truck behind their vehicle so they couldn't leave. The woman called the cops. Officers found a pair of handguns inside the tire shop. Both the guns then turned out to be pellet guns. But then they found a handgun, an actual handgun, in Alakluk's home. I mean, this story kind of flew under the radar. Yeah, why the heck did he have a hotel room overlooking the Women's March, and then an AR with a bump stock and optics and a bipod? It's crazy. So then during an interview with the feds and cops, he said he accepted the rifle in exchange for work that he performed on a customer's car, admitted the rifle was his and didn't belong to his dad, because he originally told investigators that. He said he kept his firearms in the vehicle because his wife didn't want him in the home. So federal case, he's charged in local court with 2 felony counts of criminal confinement, intimidation. I mean, what a total mess.
The Schnitt Show.
One other thing regarding this tire shop guy from Saudi Arabia in Indianapolis. He was also hit with unlawful possession of firearm. He also has an immigration detainer being placed on him. Hey, more bad press for United Airlines. Wow, next. Hang on.
Schnitt Show.